Welcome to the Ages of Rock podcast with your hosts, Bill Algie, Dennis Talbot, and Alan Tate. We are three guys who have one thing in common, a love of rock and roll. Our goal is to talk about all things rock. We hope you find this show intriguing, funny, and occasionally highly opinionated. Enjoy. Hey, this is episode 168. This week we have Atlanta-based band Light Machines bass player Tanner Hendon coming on the show in a little bit. But as always, we got to get our chitter-chatter out of the way in the beginning. And I'll go ahead and start with the shout-outs for the last two episodes. Ken Mills, Brian Harris, David Cathy, Bill Elam, and Shane Paisley from Facebook. David Cathy, Jay Skablewski, Thunder Underground Podcast, 80s Party for a Purpose, Miles Standish, and Steve Bryant on Twitter. Thank you all for your shout-outs and your continued support. We appreciate it, and we love you all.
Very much so.
All right, Wow. Thanks. End the episode.
No. Yeah, let's just go now. Stop what? While we're ahead.
So exactly. This past weekend was Mother's Day weekend. I stayed home, and I didn't really do much of anything. It was kind of nice. What did you guys do this weekend?
Well, I drove 2.5 hours one way and then 2.5 hours in the rain back.
I thought you were talking about the
mothers. I have a question for you before you get started. Sure. When you drove, did you listen to an audiobook?
Well,
no.
I got started down the road, and I was like going, my fucking iPhone needs that little patch cord to hook into my car thing. And my patch cord was sitting on my tool bench at work or at home. So, no, I did not listen to the Paul Stanley book on the way.
So you're saying you don't have a patch cord for your tool?
No, I have a patch cord for my phone. It's just on my tool bench. And actually, I had lost it for a long time. It ends up, it was in my car.
That's what she said.
And I drink a bottle of water going to work every day, and I put the caps in the middle
wine.
Thing. No, anyway. Anyway, it was at the bottom. I cleaned the caps out the other day. I was like, going, oh, there's my little jumper cord. It was in the bottom of this of the tray. I did have
Emphasis
an idea
on
though,
little.
Today. No, I did have an idea today because everybody's bitching about the fact of that the Paul Stanley book is not the audio book is not recorded with Paul Stanley's voice.
Well, or by Paul Stanley.
Right. We need to have Jeff Rogers do it. I thought about that today. I was like going, that would make that book funny as fuck. I'd listen to it probably.
If you're not asleep when you hear this.
Exactly.
Do you please we got a project. And read the first chapter.
Just read a couple funny. Sentences. I'll be laughing my butt off.
You know what? I would have paid to have seen that on Saturday.
But no, I did. I drove up that morning. I left here around 7:30, my time central, and then I got to Indianapolis right at 11 their time, which had been 10 my time. And Bill was at the venue already. And I jumped in Bill's car after trying to find it, because the last time I seen Bill, he was in a Maxima, and he was in a Dodge this time. So I was like, or Chrysler, and I was like, oh, okay. I passed right by him. We're texting. He's like, well, you just passed right by me. You didn't even look at me.
You didn't even look that way.
Well, I was looking for a gray car. Anyway, so we went to up to Fountain Square. And then we got a parking space, and then there was a festival going on at that point.
The details are amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it was fun. Fountain Square had this kind of a hip fest or arts fest going on. They had blocked the streets off. Actually, I had two big stages. I mean, it was just getting started. We were down there very early in the afternoon, but they were serving, you know, alcohol and all that stuff too. But there was really nobody there. But Bill took me to this first shop that we went to. What was the name of that place? Do you remember?
Square Cat Vinyl.
Square Cat Vinyl. And we went in there. It was actually kind of cool. Went through. They didn't have a whole lot of vinyl. I mean, it was decent.
All they have in there is vinyl.
Right.
And a coffee shop.
And a coffee shop. But everybody was at the coffee shop. With that stuff. So, but I ended up picking two pieces of vinyl up there. I ended up getting Foreigner's Head Games. I got that for $5.99. Pretty good deal. I've been looking for that. It's a good album. Mm-hmm. And I went big time and bought a new copy for $22.99 of Beatles Abbey Road. It's the remastered off the original tapes on the 180 gram. And I was like, that's one album I've been really wanting. And that was what I got. Billy, you didn't get any vinyl that day, did you?
I did at the show. I did at the expo. Right. I didn't.
There was a Boss Skaggs at that place you were looking at, but
yeah, I looked at it, but it was looked like it went through it. It had met a cheese grater at some point, so I
oh my God.
Passed. And then there was something else I was looking at the other place we went to. So then we went to Irvington Books and Vinyl, or Books and Records, or whatever it's called. Right. And that place usually had a lot of stuff. They had a lot of stuff there, but there wasn't. You know, when you go looking for vinyl like that, you just got to be the right place at the right time.
Exactly.
And it was just not my thing this weekend, so it's okay.
I had looked at, actually, the place we went before that other place, Square or whatever it was, they had a new copy of Hotel California. And I had it in my hands and was almost going to buy it. They went only $19 for that. I was almost going to buy it. And then we got to this other store that Irving. And there was a used copy for $10, and I had it in my hand. I walked around the store in my hands, about 10 minutes?
15 minutes, yeah.
And then
it had the poster in it. The original poster was in it, too. You should have bought the damn thing.
$10. Nice. But the thing was, it had been wet, so the album itself, not the record, but the cover, was kind of warped a little bit. It had a little stain on it. And the record didn't look too bad, but I was thinking, man, for $10, I could spend $9 more and get a brand new copy. But I did buy there for $4.99. I got The Best of Joe Walsh, which is a really good album. It's got, of course, Turn to Stone, Rocky Mountain Way, Funk 49, Walk Away. You know, it's good tunes.
Does it have ILBT on it?
Has what?
ILBT.
ILBT?
I Love Big Tits.
No.
Well, then you should take it back.
Oh. But anyway, I only got three records, but it was a good time. And then we went down to this pizza place. We walked down the street. We walked and walked and we walked a little more because we thought that was just right around the corner. But we found a pizza joint and we sat there and had a couple. We had a sandwich and then we headed on back to the Kiss Expo.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. Had no trouble finding parking.
Yeah.
Walked in there.
And then we were kind of confused because we walked in where we were originally, Alan, in that big, you know, that side place that was so hot when the temperature was like 5 degrees. There was nobody there. And we're like, okay, this is weird. They changed it. Well, what they did was, you know, last year they had the one room, the ballroom, and then they had the other room, you know, where the live band was set up on the very end of the building. Well, this year, that room was empty. The ballroom that was the original ballroom was the where they were taking pictures for Tommy, I believe. Is that right? Yeah.
Sure.
And then, because they had different doors open. And then the room that they had the band set up in last year was the main room. They had the band set up plus all the vendors and then the stars that were there. Of course, you had, you know, Lita Ford. You had Hirsch Gardner from New England. You had
did she have her funny Bert gloves Slaughter. Again?
No, she did not. She didn't have those big fuzzy gloves.
No.
No. But she was wearing
big,
long
clunky sleeves. Shoes, though.
Yeah, it was the long sleeves and stuff. She didn't see much of her tattoos and stuff because she was, it was cold that morning. And then the girl from Vixen, her name, Bill, help me out. I feel stupid now.
Oh, I do too.
I wrote that down. It's
Let's keep talking. Mark Slaughter.
Yeah.
Then Jeremy Phillip and Ryan and
hey, why don't you be like Ace and forget Ryan's name?
Yeah. And then Christopher Williams was there. E.T. Brown came by. Right.
The guy with the costumes was there on the corner. Then there was a guy at the T-shirt shop that's doing the early Kiss T-shirts was there.
Click T-shop.
Yeah, Click T-shop. He's got
where I got my hat. So if you can't see it, it's the hat is the logo from the first Gene costume. And
that
I
would
got
be a skull and crossbone.
Skull and crossbones. That's correct. And I got a. I also have a Samuel T. Serpent T-shirt as well.
Oh, you bought that for me. What a nice guy you are.
I did. I did. And it's good stuff. If you you know, go to click KlickTeeShop.com. These guys have put out some really, really cool stuff, and you should buy it because it's cool.
Yeah, they got the early yellow shirt that has mothers on it with the woman, you know, giving the finger that one of Ace was wearing early on in some of the early shots. They have that one, and they got
that was a new thing. That was new, and so was the hat. This hat was new.
And then, of course, the Kiss My Wax guys were there. Your friend Jason and Andrew were there. And then our friend Julian Gill, he was there. They had his table set up, and they were back in the corner.
And those two guys beside each other in a corner facing
nobody
the wall.
Nobody puts Julian in a corner.
I said that.
Bill, exactly what I did. I was laughing my balls off too when he said that.
They put our friends from Rockin' Pod – from Podcast Rock City, they just threw them out. They were out in the corridor.
They asked to be.
I know they did. I'm just trying to make it interesting.
I know. So anyway, they were out.
They were outside. You just killed it for me. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
I don't want to.
But I want to tell you about Mark Slaughter. So
yes.
Last year I wanted to buy the Hey There or whatever the new album's called. I think this is the one that's got Hey There on it. The new Mark Slaughter record, and went to get it. They didn't have them, and then they got them last year after the expo had opened. We got really busy with some podcast stuff. I went back in to get it, and it was already gone, so I didn't get it. So this year I got it. They said Mark will sign it for free, get a photo with him. I said, perfect. So I waited around. Well, in the meantime, I'm out talking to Joe and Dennis. We're out there talking at the Podcast Rock City table. And we were like, you know what? I think we could get – well, okay. So first of all, we walk in and I'm on the struggle bus. Mark is playing a pink Flying V and shredding on a pink Flying V. So
– take that!
Yeah. So we were talking about that. And we were like, I think we could get 60 people in this building to pay $300 to watch – Mark play that across the street from the record label that he's going to be recording studio. He's going to be playing out on the same night.
Right.
And we were like, that's a great idea. So we start talking about it. We were whatever. So I said, well, when I meet Mark later, I'm going to tell Mark about that idea. So I go tell Mark.
And let me break in here real quick. And we were standing out there also talking to Britt Lightning.
Who was the girl from Vixen.
I did a little, Google there. Anyway, she was standing there when we were talking about
it. That was later.
Was that later? Okay.
That was later.
Anyway, Brett,
go get my record signed. And I said, and Mark goes, so what's going on? I said, well, we got this little idea we were thinking about. So there's a couple of us out there that were thinking about, you know, we think we could raise enough money in this room probably to, I don't know, pay for you to play across from Vinny's show on that night. About $300 a person, 60 people. He goes, holy shit. And he goes like, you think we could do that? And I'm like, yeah, I think we could get people to do that. And he goes, that's awesome. He goes, man, that's really good. That's a great idea. That's a really great idea. He goes, that's a great idea. And I said, you got to play that pink Flying V. He goes, that's a great idea. And I said, okay, well, and he went to open my record and he had a Mark Slaughter pick that he was slicing the record open with. And he goes, I said, hey, you want to use mine? And had one of our podcast picks. And he goes, hey, where'd you get that? And I said, that's a podcast pick. And he goes, oh, whose podcast? I said, well, me and a couple of buddies. And he said, oh, cool. Well, why don't you, that's kind of flimsy. I'm like, oh, seriously, dude. And he goes, why don't you take my pick and I'll keep yours? I'm like, okay. That'll work.
That's kind of cool.
So later we're standing outside and it's Joe and, Britt.
Right.
Lightning. And, and Mark comes out and he walks by and I said, so what are you thinking? He goes, okay, I've been thinking about you guys' idea here. So we want to do this the right way. So we're going to raise money for St. Jude. We won't charge anybody. We'll just pass something around and any money we raise, we'll give it to St. Jude, write a big check. And I'm like, oh shit. He's like really trying to figure out.
Give me a generator and an amp. He goes,
I got the generator. I'm like, oh shit. We kind of created a monster.
Bill looked at me like, can we get this thing together? And I go, I don't know.
Is there any way we can pull this off? And he goes, I don't think so. We don't even live down there. I'm like, we got to get like a permit, and we got to get, yeah, not going to go well. So that would be cool. Would that be cool to pull that off? That would be wicked cool.
Hilarious. That'd be hilarious is what it would be.
Oh, it totally would be hilarious.
Problem is, once we set this up, you know, Vinny's going to cancel his show, so it'll just be a slaughter.
That will be even better.
Exactly. But it was a great time, and we saw some cool stuff, and I know we're getting close to getting our guest on here, so we'll have to talk about it probably later. But we overall, did see some good.
Yeah, it was okay. A lot lighter people there. Lighter group of people there than last time. Not as many. I wouldn't even say half, probably a third. And
props out to all of our buddies in the Ace Frehley band, Rich Kozak. We talked to him for a while. And like I said, seeing Hirsch Gardner and hearing some New England songs was great for me. So.
Yep.
Well, you should also
shout out to Keith and Steve for putting it on again.
And I got here tonight real quick.
Shout out to Brian Harris too.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Well, we should definitely shout out to Brian Harris because we wouldn't have went had it not been for Brian.
And I also picked this up, and Bill got one also. We got the new Kiss on Tour End of the Road Leg One Tour.
We haven't talked about Julian. You need to read that. There's stuff in there I didn't know.
Yeah, I'm going to read through it. And then we also had, you know, of course, I didn't get my last one signed, but Julian signed this one here. So anyway, it's good to see Julian hanging out with him.
So we got
to
go because we got a guest.
Yeah. All right, Tanner, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. How are y'all?
Good, man. Great.
Not bad for a Monday.
Right.
So tell us about the Light Machines.
Yeah, so my name's Tanner Hendon. I play bass in Like Machines. We're a new rock trio out of Atlanta, Georgia. And we used to be called The Stir, so some people might know us as that. It's the same lineup, same band. We're still going to play the same songs. We just felt we needed a name change for certain reasons. And so back in April, we changed our name and released our first single under the new name called Kaiser with a video, and we got more coming real soon.
Cool. The new song's good, man.
Thank you.
Very
buddy,
good.
My buddy loves that video. He said they should use that for like a recruiter kind of thing.
Yeah, right.
No, he liked it a lot. No,
it looked like an 80s kind of video. Looks like from one of the back then. It's cool. Well, kind of retro looking.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've never done I don't think anybody in our band has ever done any kind of animated video. So, you know, it was definitely like a first for all of us. And, you know, I mean, really, I mean, we helped him get the concept, but, you know, really got to give it to the animator. I mean, he crushed it. A guy named Jonathan Stearns, his company Channel B4 did it. He's out in L.A., and you know, he did a great job. We hunted down a couple different animators and stumbled upon him and really liked it. And then a buddy of ours here in Atlanta shot some of the live footage that's in there, and you know, he put it together.
Well, cool. Can you tell the audience what the concept behind the video and the song itself is?
Sure. So, you know, obviously the video touches on war. But it's not meant to be pro this, anti that, anything of that nature. It's simply kind of stating and showing that war has really just been a part of human history for a long time, and probably will be for a long time. I mean, hopefully not, of course, but you know, history has shown that it's come back around many, many times. And so, you know, that's why in the video, you see soldiers from all different countries and all different time periods, including like alien futuristic kind of soldiers. And it's kind of just an acknowledgement, you know, and the song is, you know, with the whole march course to it, it's kind of a battle cry sort of thing. You know, live, it definitely, you know, gets the energy up and, you know, everything's that song is super fun to play live because some people are like, you know, super into it. And then other people are like, what the fuck is this? You know,
That's what you, that's the reaction you want.
Yeah. Especially like, we've been opening with that, for a while, and you know, especially people that don't know us, and, we open with that and they're just like, okay, you know, I think this is cool, but it's kind of weird, you know?
So, but it is in your face. I mean, that's the cool part. Yeah. You know, is that going to be the, when you put together something, will that be a lead track, you think?
You know, I think, yeah. I mean, you know, I think it's a super strong song. You know, that's why we chose to lead with that, with the whole name change. You know, it's different. I think it kind of shows evolution in the band. So, you know, I think, I don't know, man, you know, I've seen the video, you know, a million times at this point, you know, through the whole revisions process and all that, but I still go back and watch it. I mean, and like I said, it's hard. We can't take too much credit for it because, I mean, the animator just really killed it. So I hope that the video remains, you know, the numbers keep growing and all that.
Did you give him a kind of an outline of what to do, and then he went from there, or did you just kind of say, listen to the song and go with that?
Well, we had lots of lengthy conversations on, you know, what we wanted. The lyrics to the song kind of speak for themselves, you know what I mean? But we definitely wanted it to be, we didn't want it to be pro this, anti nothing political. It's not talking about anything that's, you know, relevant today, or, you know, we think will be relevant or anything like that. You know, it's just an observation of, you know, kind of war throughout history.
Right. No, we thought it was very good. Like I said, buddy of mine, I played it the other night for him. We were watching it, and that was his first thing. He liked the song, but he was like going, I like the video, too. He goes, the video's really cool. So tonight I sit down, and I actually listened to it. I went back because I was looking through your bio, and I saw the stir, and went back through Spotify and listened to Night Shift and a few of these other songs. And I was like going, well, it sounds like the same, you know, singer. That's why when you came on and said that you were – it was basically a name change.
Yep.
So, but it's kind of cool to find out you have some back catalog to listen to like that. So,
So I mean, we plan on, you know, transferring all that stuff over to the Like Machines discography. We just kind of wanted to, you know, have a clean change for the moment and get some momentum rolling and really show that, you know, it was a name change, and we just thought it would be a little more obvious by doing it without the, you know, at first. But you know, all of that is, like you said, I mean, it's the same lineup.
Yeah.
Style really hasn't changed other than, you know, normal band evolution. And, you know, we still love that EP.
So how long were you the stir?
Man, I mean, I don't even know when we kind of started, cause it kind of started as, I don't want to say a side project, but like everyone in the band was like in other bands too, that were busier than the stir at the time. And then once we put the EP out, you know, things really kind of started rolling, but I would say, you know, like 2015, we really kind of like formed the stir and started playing shows and things of that nature. But it was kind of a slow burn, if that makes sense.
Now, who are the other members of the band, and what instruments did they play?
So Andrew Evans is on guitar and vocals, and then Chaney Brannon is on drums.
What's the age of you guys? Because when you look at the picture, we were talking about the earlier, trying to figure out how old you guys were.
Well, I'm 15.
We all are too in our minds. But I mean,
we were talking about it, and somebody goes, "Oh, we're interviewing the bass player," and I said, "Well, we're like, well, we don't know really which one it is," and it's like, "Oh, it's that guy," and I'm like, I don't.
So I'm not. I'll put it this way. I'm not going to name ages. You know.
Oh no, that's okay.
But we're all age is just a number, and we're all old enough to drink. I'll put it that way.
Well, hey, that's fair.
That's all. It just looks like there's some age in there, which is kind of cool. which is very cool. I mean, that you know, obviously we're not the same age either. I mean, we're older and some of us
speak for yourself kind of,
in wisdom, right?
Exactly.
Talk about yourself, Bill. I mean, you know, in my mind, I'm still 16 years old.
Yes.
But
yes, that's what you think.
My body says something different. When I get out of the bed in the morning, it's like I do my Aussie shuffle to the bathroom. You know. It's like,
So, are you guys playing locally in the Atlanta area, or are you touring regionally?
So right now, man, really, since the beginning of the year, we've been focusing on, you know. Obviously, with a name change, it doesn't just start. It's not just like, oh, let's change the name. You know, we got to get new logo and photo and website and merch and all that stuff. So it's been a long process doing all that. And we've really been just in the studio recording new stuff. We've got lots of new music that we're planning to put out soon. And so really the focus right now is being in the studio. And you know, hopefully we'll do some touring here coming up in the fall and winter maybe. But the main focus for us right now is recording, writing new music, and getting it out to you guys for you to hear.
So are you under a label now, or are you doing this all self-promotion and by yourself?
I actually have a label called Vincent Records. So, you know, a little of both.
Can you say the name of that record label again?
Madison Records.
Thank you.
Okay. No, that's good, because you know, whenever we talk to people like you guys that are doing this stuff out there now, you know, the days of the record labels and the way that the old business ran is not the same way it happens now.
Definitely not.
So that's why every time we have somebody on here of a band that we're just getting, you know, familiar with, we ask that same question, because we, you know, everybody has their different way they're going through it and how they're attacking, because there's really no set plan anymore. Everybody has, you know, it's almost like the Wild West, and you got to kind of figure out how you're going to do it, you know, which way you're going to go, how you're going to do it, you know, who's going to help you.
You took the words right out of my mouth, man. I mean, it really is the Wild, Wild West, and there's no rules, and, you know, it's just find your lane, find your own fans, you know. There's 6 billion people, you know, at least on the planet. You know, if you can get a million to like you, you're doing pretty good, you know. And I try to keep that in focus, because when you don't look at it like that, a million people seems like a lot, and it is a lot. But if you can just find that group of people, you know, in each city that digs you, then, you know, and however you want to do that, whether it's, you know, flyers on the street or Instagram posts or CDs or vinyl or streaming or, you know, whatever works for your fan base, and each artist is a little different.
So do you use social media and the internet as your base, as your main way of getting things out? I mean, that is the way to do it.
I mean, of course, who isn't on social media? You know, but you know, there's at the same time, you know, live shows is there's you can never beat like face to face contact. And when I say live shows, I mean, of course, playing, but also, you know, interacting with the fans at the shows, at the merch booth, you know, before and after the shows, just saying what's up, you know, and like we love doing that. I hate it when bands are, you know, not into like, they think they're like too good for their fans, you know? And, you know, look, I get at a certain point, there's so many people out in the crowd that if you go to the merch table, you're going to get mobbed. So I get that. But, you know, I love talking to the fans and, you know, learning about them and what other bands they're into and things of that nature.
You guys aren't charging $1,200 to come back and talk to you, or
say hi
and get a picture yet? No, I really do like that though. A lot of the times I've been to some of these concerts with, you know, when you got a 3 or 4 band set up, you got these new guys out there, just, you know, they're hungry as hell.
Yep.
And you know, they are the people that say, hey, after we're done, we're going to be outside, you know, signing everybody's disc and all that stuff. And I love that. I mean, that's the kind of shit that people need to be doing. It's not, you know, it's not this, you're not going to get a base of fans without actually interacting with your fans.
Oh, absolutely.
Period. Yeah,
so. Hey, is this screen okay behind me? Is it like?
Oh, you're fine. No, you're fine. You're okay. Fine.
It's all right. Tanner, what kind of music are you guys into? I mean, what are you into other than obviously machines, but what are you listening to?
You know, for me personally, I am like, so I know everybody says this. But I'm so across the board. It's insane. I mean, you'll probably laugh at me, but like anywhere from Justin Bieber to Pantera, you know, I mean, like I like it all.
There's nothing wrong with that at all.
No, that's cool. It's good.
But you know, I would say some big bands that like influence us are like Soundgarden, STP, Pantera is a big one. There's a new band called All Them Witches that we really love. And Collective Soul, who we've done some touring with. They're an Atlanta band and good buddies of ours. I would say kind of a lot of 90s rock we're definitely into. But if it's good, it's good, man. You know, like I enjoy working on all kinds of music. I kind of view Like Machines as, you know, one realm of my personal, you know, music life. It's my favorite one for sure. But I would say that goes for all the guys in the band. You know, Andrew writes a lot of solo stuff that wouldn't really, you know, match with the Like Machines vibe. And Chaney plays with a couple other people from time to time, you know, that is completely different from what we do. And I think that's important. Otherwise, you get kind of stuck in this, you know, one mindset, and it's hard to be creative.
Right. So, you're based out, you say, out of Atlanta, right?
Yeah, we're out of Atlanta.
How is the music scene in Atlanta now? I know some towns have at one point have been really, you know, Nashville was a country venue for a lot. And I mean, Nashville now has become this, you know, there's a rock scene down there now, and there's all kinds of stuff going on. Atlanta, is it growing?
Oh, 100%, man. The music scene in Atlanta is awesome. I mean, throughout Atlanta's history, you know, it's kind of gone down in the music thing. But, you know, like in the 90s, it was massive with, what was it called? LaFace Records, you know, with like, you know, Dallas Austin producing and, you know, what were they called? TLC, you know, was out of here and a lot of, you know, urban R&B kind of stuff. And I mean, Atlanta is still huge for hip hop. But, you know, as far as the rock scene and other, you know, scenes, huge amounts of artists in Atlanta. There's like, it pisses me off when people say, oh, there's no place to play in Atlanta. I'm like, dude, I could name like 14 places, you know, in 5 seconds that you could play in Atlanta that are awesome venues. Like, you know, I've played some pretty shitty venues across the United States.
there are some in every town.
You must have been in Evansville.
There's some in Nashville too.
Yeah,
there's some shitty places there too.
Of course there's shitty places here too, but it's a thriving music scene for sure.
That's good though. I mean, because I had a friend of mine who they have a band here, and they were thinking about moving to California, and they were, I don't know what town they were at in California, but they were like going, there's just nothing out here. It's all DJs and this and that, you know, and like you said. They go through, you know, valleys and hills of way things are, and at that point they were like that. That's why I didn't know how Atlanta had been, but like I said, Nashville's got to be the point where now it's fun to go down there.
Dude, everyone's moving to Nashville.
God, it's just.
But you know, also in Atlanta, they're shooting all kinds of films and TV shows here nowadays too, which is different from like a band sort of scene, but it brings a lot of creative people here.
And they need music. They need music for these shows. Yep. So it's, yeah, that's a whole nother category.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah, because you never know when they're going. Somebody's going to hear something local and go,
right,
that would be great in a scene from Walking Dead.
It's like,
yes, it would.
So
absolutely.
So circling back to the light machine, is there a story behind the name, or is it just something y'all come up with because it sounds pretty cool?
Well, actually, it was or is a song title. And that's really where it originated from, a song that we have. So, you know, when we decided we wanted to change the name, I don't know if any of y'all, you look like you, well, two of you have guitars in background, or all three of you have guitars in background. So you, I'm sure you probably played in bands. It sucks coming up with a band name.
Oh, dude, Alan and I are, we're starting a new project, and we're still...
Yeah, well,
right now we're the Hounds.
Yeah,
but we don't know what we're gonna do.
And a guitar player.
that's probably taken.
Yeah. Actually, it's not.
Oh well, that's a pretty good name, dude.
We actually did a search, and there's
I don't think you need to spend the money to trademark that, man. You let that go.
anyway. No, yeah, I mean, it's just so hard to come up with a band name that you like or that isn't taken or, you know, whatever. So we, you know, thought about it. And I don't know, Like Machines, like I said, it was already a song title that we had. So it already kind of felt a part of us. And it didn't seem like, you know, we were taking some huge leap off into some new name because it was already, you know, kind of in our discography, in our camp, you know, a song title. We'd said it a million times already, you know. And so it just stuck. And you know, we also like there's a lot of different kind of interpretations you can do of it. It can be, you know, meaning similar to machines, you know, how we as humans, we try to be like machines, you know, we try to go all the time and, you know, don't take care of our bodies and, you know, things of that nature and, you know, think we just need to work and not sleep and blah, blah, blah. I'm sure we're all guilty of it. And then, you know, the opposite where we make, these machines very human-like, you know, with Siri and Alexa and, you know, all the AI stuff that is to come, you know, I mean, that's just one, you know, interpretation that we like of it. You know, it's kind of like in our logo. We've got the eyeball that has the gear around it. You know, it's kind of like a human element in a machine.
In a machine, yeah. You know?
It's funny. I was just telling Alan right before he got on. I said, you know, I was doing some research on these guys. That logo is really pretty cool, and it's got the eyeball and.
I know
the logo is really cool, man. It's a great job.
Well, thank you. I mean, like I said, but that's one. There's you could interpret it in, you know, a million different ways, and that's what we liked about it because we can, you know, one tour we can interpret it this way, and then the next tour we can kind of interpret it another way and base the show around it and whatever, you know. So
exactly, cool. That's awesome. So you got anything coming up as far as little tours or any kind of run of shows outside of Atlanta?
You know, like I said, nothing planned at the moment. Right. We're definitely working on
getting there.
The plan right now is just to write, record, release. So we've got a bunch of stuff that's finished already that we've got coming in the pipeline very soon. I'm not going to drop a date for you yet, but it's very soon. Right.
So there'll be songs, including with Kaiser. You have an album as far as that's concerned,
right?
Okay, so, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, you know, we're gonna continue to release music throughout the rest of the year. And I'm not saying there won't be some touring in there, but you know, the main focus is getting, you know, new music out under the Like Machines moniker and you know, videos as well.
Well, that's cool. Well, like I said, anytime you do release one, let us know, and we'll add it to our add to our page and promote and help do, because that's what we do. We help promote people that, like I said, whenever we find somebody we like to help promote.
Where are you guys?
Indiana.
Okay. All of you?
Yeah,
different
not
parts
the same,
of Indiana, but yes.
Different parts of Indiana, but we are in Indiana. Southern and mid, and he's, and Bill with the skull cap, he's about halfway up through Indiana. All right. Columbus.
We played, let's see, I can't remember the venue, but, oh, Pierre's in Fort Wayne.
Yeah.
That's way on up there.
That's way up there, but yeah. That's a drive from Atlanta.
Okay. Well, we were on tour with Fozzie.
Oh, yeah.
We've actually played there twice with them. Super cool venue. And then.
That's a great band.
Who, Fozzie?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they're awesome, man.
Yeah.
We love them. They're also from Atlanta. And I can't remember where we played in Indianapolis, but somewhere in Indianapolis, too.
I think you played, was it the Vogue?
Could have been. That sounds familiar.
Yeah. I think that was the Vogue. Yeah, and I was supposed to go to that show. Actually, was that with Fozzie as well?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I was supposed to go to that show, but I ended up having something happen that night, and I couldn't make it.
Dude, I mean, I got to say, the Midwest, you fuckers like to rock out there, man.
Yes, we do.
I mean, all my favorite shows were in the Midwest, you know, and like Ohio or Fort Wayne or any place like that. It was awesome.
Yeah, the good part is he's muted. That's the best part.
Oh, so anyway, I was talking. No, I said, being in Indiana, we have work, corn, and rock and roll. I mean, we got to keep up, you know what I'm saying?
Orange barrels.
And orange barrels, yeah. We got to dodge those things all over the place on the streets. Sure. But no, it's... I have been muted for a while, haven't I? I've been talking.
Yeah, it's been awesome.
Yeah, well, we've been sitting here watching you crack yourself up.
Yeah, I said all kinds of funny shit.
Well, Tanner, you know, we appreciate you coming on the show. Before we wrap this up, tell the audience where they can find Like Machines on the interwebs.
Yeah. So our website is likemachinesmusic.com, and you go there, you know, you can pretty much get linked to anywhere you want to listen to our music, Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, you know, whatever you prefer. The video's on there. And we've got some new merchandise on there too, some t-shirts, stickers. Also, if you prefer digital download, you can download Kaiser on there. You know, we'd love for you to follow us on social media, Like Machines ATL. And like I said, we've got lots of new stuff coming out really soon. We're super excited about it. And, you know, thanks for having me on. You know, it was a lot of fun.
Cool, man. It's great having you.
Now
he's muted.
What the hell's wrong with you guys?
Well, if I don't mute my button, y'all hear my damn dogs barking.
We're professionals, Tanner. We're professionals.
We are professionals. All right, hang on a second while I take us out of here. Don't forget to visit us, folks, on agesofrock.com. Check out our Stitcher Radio link, our Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and all of the other good stuff. Till next time, peace out, folks. Thanks for listening to the Ages of Rock podcast. If you haven't done so already, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Facebook, and most importantly, tell all your friends. Remember, you're never too old to rock. Until the next episode, peace out, folks.